Blog Talk Radio.
My brothers and my sisters, and welcome once again to your weekly show called the PRF Table. I'm your host, Brother Dunlap. Also sitting here at the table is Sister Mary Ann Williams, also known as Mama. And we're just going to go ahead and get right into tonight's show. If you've never been with us before, PRF stands for Possessions, Resources, and Finances. And what we do here at the PRF Table is we come together every Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we just have these conversations and transformative dialogue that God uses us and uses you two as the listeners to be able to converse and have conversations, honest conversations, truthful conversations, real conversations about what's going on with your possessions, your resources, and your finances. And today is July the 2nd, so we are starting a brand new series. And tonight's series for the month of July is actually, Do You Want to Be Debt-Free? Do you want to be debt-free, Mama? That's what we're going to be talking about for the whole month of July. So we hope that everybody is there to be able to join us every week. But if you can't join us every single week, you can always go on blogtalkradio.com/PRF table, and you can check us out through the archive shows. So these shows are recorded, and once we get off the air, they're ready there for you. So, Mama, how are you doing this evening before we go ahead and get right into it?
I'm going to say I am doing fine, thank you. And good evening, my PRF family, believing all is well in spite of our challenges. Amen, amen.
Amen, and that's a good way to put it. Hoping all is well despite the challenges. And so as we talk about this topic of do you want to be debt free, the number one question for us tonight is what are the top three reasons that you want to be debt-free? We're asking this because what better opportunity do we have right now, being right before the 4th of July? And the 4th of July is also known as Independence Day, right? So
yes.
Independence Day is about being free from something. So we're going to try to deal with that. And here's why we're talking about do you want to be debt-free for the whole month. Because we could talk about it today, but freedom usually doesn't come just because we want to be free. Freedom usually comes because something has happened, something has transpired, whether it is the oppressor letting the people go or whether it is you who decide that you want to go ahead and leave out of Egypt.
Yes.
So that's what we're dealing with tonight. I don't know if anybody noticed it, and I'm an avid Earth, Wind, and Fire fan. And I can tell you that most people probably would not know that about me, but the intro music that I have for this show, ever since January 2015, the intro music has been a song called Freedom by Earth, Wind, and Fire. And I don't think sometimes people can realize the magnitude of being in a mind of, I need to be free. What is it that you need to be free from? Well, in this month, we're talking about being free from debt. Now, when you hear this term debt-free, it means a lot of different things to a lot of people. And one of the things that we found out last week as we were leading up to it was, before we get into this whole discussion about being debt-free, before we get into all of the steps that you can take in order to be debt-free, there were some things that we looked at. And one of the things that we looked at last week, for those who are just joining us, was we looked at good debts versus bad debts. And we just tapped on the surface, right? And we found out that there's a difference between debts and bills. I have a water bill. If I don't use the water, I don't get charged. I only get charged for what I actually use. But if I have a credit card and I charge it, I'm actually getting that advance up front. And I've asked them to give me that. I've asked them to give me a line of credit, and they've given it to me for me to use whenever I want. So we kind of touched on that a little bit at the end of last week's show. So I'm just going to invite everybody to go back and check out last week's show. And then I think there's also another difference out there that I think will make some sense of this whole conversation about debt for some people, and that there's a difference between a debt and a purchase. So I can have $20 in my pocket, and I can want something that costs $19. If I use the money that I have in my pocket, this $20 bill, all I've done is made a purchase. I'm not obligated to them. We just engaged in a transaction. But if I want to hold on to that $20 because I want some cash in my pocket, and then I use my credit card, then now I put myself in a debt situation because I've used the credit that was given to me. It's not a bad thing. We're not talking about not spending money at all. We're talking from the perspective here on the PRF table is about making some wise decisions when it comes to entering into situations of debt. And the other thing that we're really aiming for as we deal with this subject this month, as we dealt with some debt topics on last month in June, is that for those people who are in those not so good places when it comes to debt, we want everybody to understand that there's hope. We don't want anybody to believe that just because you're in a situation of debt and it's not so pleasant, that all is lost. I'm just a firm believer. As long as we have breath in our body and we're able to do certain things, and God has given us a mind and God has given people around us, that there's ways out of some of these situations. So we're going to talk about that a little bit in depth tonight, and just hope that at the end of tonight's show, whatever time we decide to disperse off the air, that God has started moving on somebody's heart, right? And not just moving on somebody's heart, but maybe somebody will say, you know what, I need to do something really, really different. And so you can get moved in your heart, but you have to ask the question after that, just like it was in the book of Acts. What do I need to do? And so hopefully what we'll be able to do tonight, y'all, is pose some of these questions and put out some of the answers that God has given us and let it go from there. For those who may be joining us, we're talking about, do you want to be debt-free? That's the subject of the month. Do you want to be debt-free? And I'm here, Brother Dunlap. Mama's here. And also we have Adia Sanders, which is one of the other hosts of this show. So, Adia, I just want you to say hey to the people so we can go ahead and get it started, unless you're ready to get it started right now. Adia must be sleeping.
No. How's everybody doing?
Fine, thank you. Hi, how are you?
Here. I have
good to hear your voice.
Good to hear your voice, too. It's good to be on.
Amen. That's good. Well, I know I said it last week, so in case anybody's here from last week, let me just go ahead and spend maybe 2 or 3 minutes. We were talking about the differences between good debts and bad debts. And one of the things about it is, if we're going to have that type of conversation of making distinguishes between good debts and bad debts, nobody can tell you what a bad debt is. And that's just the way it is. You have to understand the type of debts that you actually have, and you have to be able to see. I can see it all day long. I can see that purchase that you may have made, Mama, and can say, you know what, that was not a good thing to do. I can see it, but I can see it until I'm blue in the face. Unless you see it, then that's where the real transformation is going to come, because I can't change anything about your specific situation unless you're able to see it. The children of Israel, unless they were able to see that they were able to go and leave the promised land would have kept their tails right there, even when Pharaoh said go. So we have to be able to see it. One of the distinguishing factors between a good debt and a bad debt, for example, a good debt is something that increases in value or it creates value. So if I decide to go into debt for school purposes, right, I go to college or I go to seminary, the question becomes, okay, I'm in debt if I had to use student loans or got some other type of loans, but does it create value? So what that does is that helps us to be able to say to our young people, are you just going to school just to go to school, or are you looking for it to do something better in your life so that when you get out of school, the things that you learn during school is going to take you farther than you probably would have gone if you never had been there. And so that debt that you have incurred, what is it going to help you do? If you decide to go to school for criminal justice and you have no desire to be in the field of law enforcement, what's the purpose? Is that debt that you're now carrying going to do something to create more value in your life? Is it going to do something to help your family? Well, I want to go for criminal justice, but at the same time, I want to be a teacher. Okay, well, you may need to make the decision of using that debt for a teaching degree versus a criminal justice degree. So, and on the flip side, of course, a bad debt is something that doesn't have any, it doesn't increase in value. Has no potential. And that's how, and from that part of the definition alone, that's one of the reasons why credit cards are considered bad debts from a financial sector perspective. Because once you buy what you buy, the item that you have is yours. The company, the Visa does not want that $500 pair of $500 pocketbook that you bought, dear. They don't want that back. All they want is their debt. And if Adia decides that she wants to stop paying that credit card bill, they still don't want that pocketbook back. All they want is their money. And so it would not be considered a good debt in that case because that money that's out there is doing nothing for her. Or let's make it real. A $300 pair of shoes. A $300 pair of orange shoes. That joker, you're not going to wear orange shoes every day. So you're really not getting too much use out of it. So, you know, again, that's where we start talking about, okay, let's try to evaluate this good debt and bad debt thing. If I'm using these shoes and they're orange shoes and I happen to be using them because I'm a, what's the person who's air traffic controller or somebody who's working at a night job or in a construction field, and that's a way to bring illumination to, you know, if I can see some reason behind it, then when I buy it, it ain't really got nothing to do with you anymore. Because I see that there is a purpose for what I'm purchasing. You may not see it. All you see is Dunlap done went and brought some orange shoes. What is the matter with him? He know he in the army. He got to wear boots every day, 5 days a week. How often is he going to wear orange shoes? You know what I'm saying? So there's some, maybe we'll post some of these differences out here from good debt and bad debt. But I really want us to really just, you know, unless anybody has anything that they want to bring from that perspective, I really want to just get into talking about being debt-free. Because I think that's what the listeners, those of you who are listening, are really, really maybe wanting to focus on. One of the things that I was doing I did last week. Last week I had a conversation while I was TDY. I was able to meet up with an old friend, old colleague, and we went to have lunch, and he was telling me about debt. Didn't know what we were going to be talking about on this week's show, but he was talking about how he was able, with God's help, of course, to get out of debt. And he talked about how it wasn't an easy road. And maybe, I don't know if we're going to get him on the show this week, but hopefully before the end of the month, we'll be able to get him on the show for him to tell his story. And I think that is one of the things that is so crucially important, is that when God delivers us from being in bondage to debt, from being enslaved to debt, right? When God does that, isn't that an opportunity for us to tell somebody else? Now, here's the thing. What do you tell them? Let's just start swinging the bat, y'all. What do you tell them? Ooh, yeah, I used to be in $50,000 worth of debt. You, Lord, child, I used to be in a debt for $200,000, and today I'm debt-free. You ain't blessed nobody. Because they don't know nothing about the struggle. Okay?
Amen.
Because
good.
The reality is, you can be in debt one day, and I don't see you for a while, and then next time I see you, you say, ooh, Lord, look what happened. I'm not in debt anymore. But did you use credit to get yourself out of one debt and put yourself into another debt? So the person doesn't have that burden of the house anymore. Now they got the burden of a car, paying $600 a month for a car note. People want to hear, and I think people need to hear, what is it that helped you get to that place where you're able to give God the glory versus just giving God the glory? Not saying don't give God the glory. I'm saying bless somebody by being able to communicate, this is what I had to do. Because you just telling me that you debt-free has not done anything to help me in my situation. The only thing that I can see positive out of that is I can say to somebody else, I know somebody who's debt-free or said they're debt-free. That's it. I have nothing else that I can go on. I can't even mimic the steps that you've taken because you haven't even told me. I mean, I'm not trying to be deep or anything. I'm just being real with it. So, you know, we have these stories and these historical accounts in the Bible and these verses in the Bible that say things that deal with debt like we've talked about over the last couple of weeks. We talked from Deuteronomy chapter 15 and 6. We talked from Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verses 12 and 13. We talked about Nehemiah chapter 5 verses 1 through 15. We talked about Proverbs 22:7, you know, about being the lender and the borrower, not the borrower, being about the head and not the tail. We talked from Matthew chapter 5, 17 through 20, when Jesus said, no, I didn't come, know this, that I didn't come to abolish the law of Moses and of the prophets, but I came to fulfill the law. And then he goes on to say, this is 17 through 20, he goes on to say that you who teach this, you who don't teach this, there's going to be a problem with you. So what we said here on the PF table is, we want to make sure that we're teaching what God is saying and teaching what the Spirit is saying to us, because it's not about every single word being written in the book. Jesus left, when he left this earth, he said, I leave you a comforter, right? Which is to guide you in all things. So the only thing I'm going to do is look in a book, the book, and I can't be guided by the Spirit, then there's something wrong. It's not a either or, it's a both and. So here's what I wanted to, well, let me say this. Adia, did you have anything, or Mama, did you have anything? Because, you know, I get to going. Y'all know I'm excited about this stuff.
I'm fine, thank you.
No, I do not.
Okay. All right, so here's what I want to do. I want us to kind of take tonight's show and take it somewhat in a format of how we would do in the actual PRF session. So, the question, what are the top three reasons that you want to be debt-free? If we're talking about being debt-free, if there's somebody out there that says, I want to be debt-free, whether they have heavy debt or whether they just have debt that they just want to get from abundance, I want to be debt-free. There's a question. Why? Why? That's the number one question. Why? Adia, why would God allow you to be debt-free? Why would he allow your church to be debt-free? So in answering that why question, that's where what are the top three reasons you want to be debt-free? That's how we get to that. So now I'm throwing it out there to y'all. What are y'all reasons? Because all of us, every last one of us on the PRF table, we have debt. All of us. So what is your reason, Mama? What is your reason, Adia, or a reason? And just throw it out there.
First of all, I would want to pay my debtors. you know. And then I would want to help others, you know, not so much give them money, but, you know, show them that I care about them, you know, get a personal relationship with them, you know, and if they do need some financial help, you know, then I would help them. But with that being said, I would have to teach them how to fish, so to speak. And then there are charities that I would like to give to, the sickle cell anemia is one of the charities that I would like to give to, you know. And to me, it would just be about helping others in need. If I saw, you know, a mother and I saw how, you know, a single mother, and I see she has 4 or 5 children, you know, I would like to get to know her and see what she is doing, you know, just to learn her, because people want to be cared about, you know. They want to know that they're just not a number. So I would just like to get to know people, you know, that's in need, and be able to, you know, share this with them, you know, the knowledge that I have gained here, you know. And so,
okay, so you're not saying when you say share the knowledge, so I heard you say several different things. I'm trying to see how they are spliced. When you said help others with knowledge, meaning teach them or share with them, is that what you're talking about?
Share with them. Share with them what I have learned here about finances. You know, I was never really taught finances. So this, as I said earlier, this is new. This, the way you're teaching this is so new. It's different than any of the financial classes that I have attended, you know, in my lifetime. And it's really broken down so that people can really understand it. Because some of the financial meetings I've been to, you know, just, you know, they're really talking about stocks and bonds and investments and things of that nature, you know, because, you know, I'm working a job and this is what we need, you know, and they bring them in, you know, before they have a sign up and things of that nature. So, and still, I leave out there not really understanding. But here, I'm getting such a clear understanding because of the way it is taught. It's very simple, you know, that I can share it, you know, and not get the person confused about finances and not make them feel bad because they don't have the knowledge that I have.
All right. Adia, what do you say? What would be your top 3 reasons for wanting to be debt-free?
One of the main reasons is because always as, just as being a child, that was just one of the things that I always admired about God, was that knowing that he wanted me to be the lender and never the borrower. And as I got older, you know, and began to understand more about finances, and having just made mistakes because I didn't know, I guess it's just the freedom, and one knowing, and the other part is knowing that it's a biblical principle. And so because I believe all of the word of God, I believe, you know, in being financially free is what God desires for me. So because it's what God desires for me, it's easy for me to line up with that concept of, like I said, of being a lender and not the borrower. Then the other part of that, too, is that when it's because I know what God has called me to do in the health ministry, I want to be a blessing to other people. I want to be able to teach people, not necessarily what I did, but I want to be able to teach them what God gave me, and be able to share that information with them and to help them reach that same to help them reach that same level of freedom also. And the only way that I could be able to do that is, one, having gone through it myself, and then, two, being able to share it with other people. And I'm going to stop right there.
Wow. So
good.
Mama, if I can sum up what you said, one is to pay your debtors. The other is to help others, particularly in the area of sharing the knowledge that you are gaining. And the third is to give to charity. Adia, you said freedom. You also said to follow the biblical principles and to teach and share your experiences with others so that they can be in a place, a better place than what they are. Now, here's the thing about this, about being debt-free. Neither one of you said the same thing. Now, can you imagine us being in a workshop? And you know that with PRF, we prefer a small group methodology. So if we're dealing with 20 people in this workshop, we got 6 answers already to deal with just between 2 people. So what that shows me is everybody has their own reasons for why they want to be debt-free. It's not about somebody else's reason. It's about your reason. Everything has to start at home. Now, when I say start at home, I'm not talking about start necessarily with you as the individual, but it has to start from the area where God has you at. I can't go against Mama when she says she wants to do it because of pay her debtors, because I believe something different. That's not how I should be approaching this whole matter about being debt-free. And what we do on PRF is we have to embrace what you're coming to the table with. That's why we talk from this perspective of the PRF table, because everybody has a seat at the table, because everybody has an ability to come and share at the table. And like we used to say way back in the day a couple years ago, and be able to feast at the table. Those principles still have not gone anywhere, even though we don't say it that often. Here's what I thought about. Mama, you talked from a perspective of knowledge and sharing, and Adia, you did that as well. Here's what I would say. You don't have to be debt-free to do what you just said, Mama, that you would do if you were debt-free.
Yes.
Adia, same thing. Teach and share the experience. And that's one of the things that I want us to really drive home to people is, if we're waiting for people to be debt-free to do those things that you just said, it's going to be a long time, Jack. Because how many people, I put this question on the blog talk page. What does being debt-free look like? And another question I put out there was, who do you know that is debt-free? Who do you know who is debt free? So I'm going to say, Mama, I'm going to say, Adia, while we're going through this whole process of trying to be debt free, if that's what we're aiming for, why not do the same thing as we're going through?
Okay.
Why not help others and share with each other the same way or in the same manner that we're doing it right now? Versus waiting until we actually get debt-free. See, remember last week we were talking about Adia. Do I sound any better? All right.
What'd you say, Nate?
I was trying to make sure that you could hear me, trying to see if there was that background. Okay. You know, like we were talking about last week, we're dealing with real life experiences. We're dealing with what's going on right now. And there's people with different perceptions about what it means to be debt free. And if everybody has their own perception of what it is to be debt free, how do we ever get to a place collectively as a body? How do we ever get there? So another thing that Mama said was, Mama, you talked about paying debtors. Well,
yes.
You want to be debt-free so that you can pay your debtors. But the only way you don't get to a place of being debt-free to pay your debtors, because if you're debt-free, then you don't have the debt. So paying your debtors is what you're going to be doing in order to get to that place of being debt-free.
Mm-hmm.
So I really love that one when you said, because it's a biblical principle. That was good. That was like when you start playing the music, and you just shout. Because if everybody sees it, we can see it. If we can help other people see it. I know I'm clouded tonight. If we can help other people see it, for real, that this is biblical principle, that being bound up by debt, by being enslaved to debt, is not one of those principles that God wants us to be following. It is totally the opposite. He doesn't want us in that position. If we can get that, then now we have some starting place. We have a baseline. We have a place that we can build a foundation upon. This is what I'm going to suggest. I'm going to suggest that three different areas, God, neighbor, I'm going to mute your microphone, Mama. We can't get rid of that background noise on you. God, your neighbor, and family. God, neighbor, and your family. Jesus gave us some commandments, right? And he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Then he said, and the second one was what? Love your neighbor as yourself.
With all your mind. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind.
Mm-hmm. Your strength. The second was, or is, love your neighbor as yourself. So I see clearly that if we are dealing with this from a perspective of believers, of disciples of Christ as Christians, then we can't dismiss those two key commandments that we have been given. And if we're talking about being debt-free, why not operate in them? So when you put it out there about being, using it as being one to be there free because of a biblical principle, then that's God. When you talked about sharing your experience, that's your neighbor. It could also be your family. Now, when you talked about the freedom, you know, hey, I want to be free. That could be considered a fourth column, but I wanted to put it out there about God, family, and neighbor. And I don't know, I'm not saying it in a perspective of the order where your family comes before your neighbor, your neighbor comes before your family. I can't go there, Adia. But what I am saying is those three are critical. And the reason I'm going to push those three for us is because when you hear this whole conversation about debt-free, who is it about? Adia, when you see the commercials about being debt free, when you get the emails about being debt free, when you see the infomercials about being debt free, who is it usually talking about?
It's always about that individual. It's you know, it doesn't expand further than the person, them being debt free, pretty much.
And so, if it's just about the person, that's why I had us to ask the question, why do you want to be debt-free? Because if the financial sector or the consumer sector of this world that we live in our community, is talking about you need to be debt free. Be debt free so you can go on vacation. Be on debt. Be debt free so you can go and buy a house. Be debt free so you can drive the type of car. That ain't God. You ain't got no way that you can show me any biblical basis for that type of mentality at all. At all. So we got to be on the side of God when they talk. When we're, if we're going to talk about being debt free, if we're going to have the conversation, we got to be on the side of God. We got to be able to show and see what is the Word talking about, and how is the Spirit leading in those situations. So I don't want anybody to think that it's not about you as an individual not getting yourself together, because it is, right? Because sometimes you can't help anybody else until you help yourself. But what am I really dealing with? What am I really focusing on, y'all? We're really focusing on what's the motive behind it. If it's, like Mama said, I want to be debt free because she said to pay the debtors. I want to be debt free so I can pay the debtors so I'm not no longer bound to them. That's a good one. But I want to pay the debtors because I made those obligations and I'm caring about my neighbor, because they extended credit to me. And so that's the right thing to do. Now we're dealing with something that we can say, I know I don't have to show you a scripture for what I just said in that last sentence, but I know God is going to be pleased with that if that's my motive. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yep, it sure does.
I'm gonna continue to want us to focus on that whole second commandment, or that great commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Love thee one another. Man, if we can do that along with loving God like we're supposed to, like he wants us to, following his commandments, especially the ones that we have written that we've been talking about, then there shouldn't be a reason why people can't become debt free. I don't see why. Now, that was a deep statement that I made, because I'm not talking about it's going to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying I don't see why it can't happen. Can't see why it can't happen. It for me, it goes back to Romans 12, 1 and 2, right?
Yeah.
My brothers and sisters, I plead with you, give your bodies to God as a sacrifice. Let them be living and holy, the kind that he will accept. So we're doing it. We're giving ourselves first and foremost. And when you think of all that he's done for you, is that too much to ask? Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do. So you're not going to know what God wants you to do unless you allow God to transform you.
Mm-hmm.
And how does he transform us? From the inside out. He don't transform us from the outside in, or he can. But I believe his method is from the inside out, because God is always concerned about our heart.
Amen.
And so if it's at that point that we'll know what God wants us to do, then we'll know how good and how pleasing and how perfect his will is for our lives. That's deep. So it's not just about learning some new principles, even though we are talking about from a perspective of learning. It's not just about learning the new principles. It's, okay, God, you know I'm in this debt. Show me, help me to be real with the reasons why I want to get out of debt. Show me if those are not the right reasons. Show me if all I've been hearing is, like you talked about, Adia, the stuff on TV, right? Or, you know, it's about me. Show me if it's about me. And so before I go down that path, God, of working that plan with that bad motive, or the wrong motive, or the motive that is not the one that you want me to hold on to, deal with me and show me a better reason of why I need to be out of debt. I'm just crazy enough to believe that God was like, okay, now, when you get out of debt, here's what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to tithe, and you ain't going to play with it. It's just going to be so natural for you. Huh? You talking about give 10% to the church? This church? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Now, you know, it's up to you. But that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for you to do that. And here's what I thought about as y'all were giving your list of three. If these are your reasons, how long are you going to hold on to them? So in a PRF session, that's a very good question for us to ask. If that is your reason, if those reasons that you have documented, that you have written down on your worksheet, how long are you going to hold on to them? It's about continuously asking questions and not just going off in the dark, because that's a real deal question. You know, we got to be real, Adia. We got to be real, Mama, in ministry. We have to. At least that's how we do it here. Because you're not going to get to the point. These are not overnight things. Those are continual things.
Yes.
So it's about now, okay, this is what you said your reason why you want to get out of debt, Adia. Mama, Marianne, Jane, Bob, whoever, this is what you said. This is what God heard you say. This is what other people in the class have said they heard you say. So after 7 months, is that still the motive? And the reason why you want to hold on, good God, the reason why we have to make sure that we hold on to those pure motives is because when the debt starts to decrease, the Lord doesn't want anybody to get beside themselves. Think about it. $10,000 worth of debt. Now here they are at 7-8 months later, down to $4,000. Lord doesn't want anybody getting beside themselves thinking, okay, now I got extra. Now I can go out here and just do something that I want to do. Oh, Lord, I've been saving up all this time. I'm tired. I need me a vacation. Okay, unless you got the money saved up, don't go away and put it on the charge card and put yourself back in more debt. And then now expecting God to say, or to come through and to keep you on that same path. No, the plan has changed now. Because where it was a plan that it could have been over, where it could have taken 11 days, now it may start to take 40 years.
Yes.
So I want everybody to really hold on to that that's listening. If those are your reasons, if your reasons are pure, if you know that God is pleased with your reasoning for wanting to be debt-free, you got to hold on to it. Now, when I say hold on to it, there has to be some accountability, right? I just have that in my head. Nobody else knows it. What happens if I start to slip? There's nobody to help me be accountable. So there's accountability piece that is really embedded in this whole notion of being debt-free. It may be a deal with John. It may be you with Bro Wayne. It may be me with Kathy. Or it may be me with one of my partners that I'm sharing this information with. We're not designed to do this by ourselves. So this whole thing about being debt-free, I think we have some big opportunities that are out there, and that God can really, really help us in that way. So, okay, can I drink some water, y'all? Can y'all talk for a minute?
Sure.
Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, just one of the things that I've realized with just the wanting to be debt-free is that, for me, it's also tied to the purpose that God has for me. And I think that, you know, when you look at those commercials, it's not tied to a real purpose that goes beyond that person. It doesn't extend to the community, or it doesn't extend to anyone else. It's just for those individuals that are directly involved. What I have known, because I know the purpose of what God has called me to, is that me being debt-free is tied to that. It is tied to what God has called me to do. And so I think that when we really examine, like you were saying, the motives, when you really examine your heart, if for some reason your motives do not are not connected or tied to a purpose that is, you know, wrapped in God, or where the foundation of that is there, then you probably have to go back to the drawing board. Because I think it would be so easy to get caught up in self, and for it to be hard, or for it to be a struggle to say, okay, well, you know, like the example you gave, okay, God, now you want me to start tithing to this church. And it's kind of like, so now you're just like there's, you got to question, like, what it is that God is telling you. But when you understand the purpose, then the bigger picture makes sense the smaller level. And I will even go so far to say is that along that process, I believe that God will put us through a kind of like a trial, a testing trial to say, you're not out of debt, but if I ask you to give, even though you're working on this, you know, to be debt-free, if I ask you to give $50, are you able to do it? And not only that, but are you able to do it on a consistent basis to give to this organization or to give to this ministry or to give to this person? Because, again, you know, we say things and sometimes we don't understand the bigger picture or the smaller picture of the process that God is trying, that we have to go through in order to get to the end state. And so I was sharing with somebody on last week that a lot of times we know God has said, hey, you're going to be debt free because I need you to be able to travel the world free and clear. And you know, you're going to have so many roots laid in so many different places that for you to have, you know, a home per se, is probably not going to be the lifestyle that you live. Your home, you know, you may have a home that you know, have a residence for, but I need that to be paid off because I don't need you to be able to come back for maybe the 2-3 weeks of the month out of a whole entire year and you sitting up here still paying on a mortgage and you barely still live in this house, because you are maybe staying in a hotel, or maybe the church is having you stay at a parsonage, or maybe you're staying in a hut or a village with other people, or maybe you're staying in a co-op area to where there are, you know, kind of like a dorm type of setting. So for you to have a home that you don't even live in that often, it doesn't make sense for you to be paying a 30-year mortgage or even a 15-year mortgage. So I'm going to put you through this plan to where you need to focus on paying your home off for this reason. You know what I'm saying? I just think about things like that. And so I was sharing with them is that when God shows you the end of a thing, you don't always necessarily see all of the in-between until you start going through the process. But a lot, and in order to get to that end process, Lou Hutt has a quote that I love. He says, you have to begin with the end in mind. So if the end in mind is to be debt-free, then there are things that I have to do at the beginning, which is that starting line, and all the way in between. And so I don't see everything, but I know what the end that God has already given me. So what I need to do is put my feet at the white start line, and be ready to go. And so as I'm going throughout that process, you know, of being debt-free, don't know what the time period is. So like you were saying, patience is going to have to be very key. Now look at the characteristics of God that he's working out in me. He's working out patience. He's working out for me not to have an ulterior motive. He's working out for me not to be selfish. At the same time, in me working through this process of debt-free or whatever other things that God has called me to, he may say, Adia, I want you to sow a seed here.
Mm-hmm.
And in that process, it is helping me to be able to give, even though I'm not at the end state that of what God has told me I'm going, where I'm going to be. But I think the God that we serve will help to condition our heart, to condition our minds, to be able to do whatever it is that he showed us that we're going to do. Because, and this is for a deal, if God waits until I'm debt-free to be like, okay, now I need you to start giving, I'm going to be like, wait a minute, Lord, I had learned a lesson about forgiven. I don't really know what that looks like. And I say that out of my own personal experience because that's what I'm going through right now. Several months ago, the Lord said, I want you to sow a seed. And I was like, okay, God. Is it a one-time thing? And the answer was clear. He was like, no, I want you to sow this seed because what I'm getting ready to do for this organization, what you're sowing is going to help to jumpstart that. Okay, there's no time period on it. So now it is, as I've been doing it, one, my heart is lined up because I'm excited about what I'm doing. And at the same time, I'm also going through the process of, can I get out of what I currently have now so that when I don't have all of the money that I do make being tied up to a mortgage company, being tied up to this personal loan that I have, being tied up to, you know, this over here or that over there, now able to give because I've gone through that process. But my initial startup was with the end in mind. And so I've just found that to just be so exciting when we understand, as God takes us through the journey of being debt free, when we start to see ourselves lining up, and then we can, as we go through the process, we catch the vision in our hearts. We can see how our hearts begin to change, how our giving mindset begins to change, to whereas before we would have been like, hold up, God, now wait a minute. I can't, I don't have $50 to give. You want me to give $50 that I really don't have. But now it's just like, wait a minute, I've been in this process for a while that I don't have a problem giving $50. Whether it's sacrificial or whether he knows that I have $50 and $100 that I can give, the fact that he says you can give $50 and I can give it and it not be an issue, and I'm not going to appear counting my hands and fingers and toes trying to see if I can really give it or not and not hurt somewhere else, is a blessing. And so to be able to go through that process and to be able to look back to say, before I wasn't here and now I am here, I think it is a good place for believers to be. And that is a part of the process that you can be able to share with other people. And I think that our testimony goes throughout the entire journey of where God is taking us through when it comes to our finances and being debt free, to now we can give freely. And I don't even look at, you know, the debts and things like that. Like you said, things that, you know, when you look at it, like the value. So, you know, you had talked about the purses. Now, you know, I don't go out and I don't buy, well, I've never bought a $500 purse before, good God Almighty. But Jesus fixed it. But now, if I can afford to buy a $500 purse, if that was my mindset before, I look at my finances differently. I'm just like, well, why would I sew $500 into a purse? Even though I could have that purse for like 30 years if I take good care of it, well, why would I sew $500 into a purse? And so now you begin to see how your mindset begins to change. Instead of being stuck on materialistic things, it's just like, wait a minute, I can take this $500, I can throw a seed into somebody else's life and maybe start a scholarship fund with $500. Mm-hmm. Something that is leaving a inheritance behind. And so I think that during that process, God begins to change our mindsets to where we were saying, oh, you know, I got $500, shoot, I can go on a mini shopping spree. That would have been my mindset maybe 5 years ago. Even though I knew God said, hey, I want you to be debt free. Well, now that I've loosened up some money and I got $500 extra, I don't want to go on a shopping spree. I want to do something that is meaningful. And so I begin to seek God. I begin to seek those that know where I'm trying to get to and say, hey, I got $500 extra. I've been praying and asking the Lord, you know, what I can do with this. And they may have been praying the same thing. God, we need $500 to do X, Y, and Z. We're trying to send somebody on a missions trip. And that $500 that you would have normally blew on something crazy, that's the $500 that you can sow for somebody to go on a missions trip. These are the things that I think were, you know, I'm excited about getting to that level. so that we, you know, to impact the kingdom. And the other thing is that I just want to add about having a pacer. You know, you talked about having an accountability partner. You know, I was talking mm-hmm. about this again, like saying, you know, if, you know, sometimes, you know, when you run in that 2 mile run, it's not that you don't think that you're going to pass it, but just having somebody there that is a stronger runner than you, that can help you keep your pace when you may get a little tired and a little weary, because you know you got to do the 2 mile. Ain't no cutting the corner. But to have a support person, a pace setter, that's going to be like, I know you're getting tired, but remember the dream that God gave you. Remember the vision. Remember the prophecy that you said God gave you. I can't allow you to give up right now. Having that person in your corner that's going to say, hey, you're doing good. I know you want to give up. I know you want to take that money and do something else with it, but keep going because you're doing what you need to be doing. You're right where you need to be. And I think I've said a mouthful, so I'm going to pass the mic to Cousin Mary.
Amen, amen, amen.
Ooh,
amen. What I was thinking about and was loving yourself. And I have encountered, even say, myself, loving myself. How do I love myself? And forgiving myself for things I have done. I know it's in the past, but really forgiving myself for those things. And so I have encountered many people that include myself with low self-esteem because we don't really know how to love ourselves. So if you don't know how to love yourself, then how can you extend love to someone else? Because when I don't love myself, I'm very negative. And I used to be so negative about everything. But now that I feel better about myself, now I talk more positive about things, you know. I mean, I'm not there, but I'm working on it. And I do feel better about myself. So that would be an area that sharing the knowledge here can just tell if someone's esteem is very low about themselves. Because one thing is, I can't do it. No, you can do it, but I can't do it. You know what I mean? You're smart. And because you're smart, I'm not smart like you. You know, and that's the key right there to let us know that, you know, this person doesn't love themselves. You know, and another thing is that I used to always compare myself, you know, really to my children. I used to say, you know, Lord, I just wish I was smart like my children, you know. I really have to study. I mean, I have to really study for what I have, you know. And I was sharing that with someone, and they said to me, they said, well, you got to remember that, you know, they came from you. And I was the one that I was always like law. And she said, look at the route that both of your children took, you know. And, and then I make that insecurity there, you know, that everybody else can do it better than you, you know. But I have learned that I do it the way I do it because I'm not everybody else. I'm just Marianne. And so God has a plan for Marianne. So Marianne has to learn that what she does is okay, you know. And that's all I have to say.
All right. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, I think about what Adia said, and I think I'm gonna put that I'll put that in my notes when she talks about the 2 mile runner and having a pace setter. And I also thought about, my babies, they ran track, or run track, and there's one event. Don't get me the lion, but there's one event where you have to pass the baton. And I thought about how, Mama, you talked about helping others, and Adia talked about, you know, teaching and sharing experiences. And so I'm thinking about, this piece of accountability can go into this thing of, I got my feet on the line, like Adia talked about, but I'm carrying the first leg. And then after I do my part and I pass it on to the person that's going to run the second leg, and then they're going to run and they're going to pass it on to the person that's going to run the third leg. And then the fourth person is going to bring it home. The fourth person is going to bring across the finish line. But it's not the fourth person that has won the race. It's what every single other person, it's what all four people have done. And so if we can go in using Adia's analogy, dealing with this notion of runner, if we can use that, then we can really, really see how we can do this thing together. Because all of us are not going to be at the same place when it comes to debt at the same time, with the same amount of debt, with the same type of debts. So where I have the experience of helping somebody to feel better about themselves in their debt situation with credit cards, after having experience dealing with debt myself with credit cards, that's me passing it along to somebody else. I'm not passing the debt along. I'm passing that experience along. And hopefully after that person runs their race or runs their leg, that what they'll do is they'll pass their experience on. And their experience is not just about what they've done. It's not just about what Brother Dunlap has helped them to do. It's look at what God is doing. Look at how God has put somebody into my life to help me. Now look at what God has allowed me to go through. He's kept me and he's sustained me through that whole process. And now he's allowed me to get and release that thing, not giving it to somebody else, but releasing that experience to somebody else so that they can help them, so they can give them the encouragement. When you talk about that running around that track like I'm talking about right now, if the third person in the leg knows that they are so far behind, it's not encouraging for them. But at the same time, if that person knows that there's two people that have already received it and has already gone on that third leg, that means maybe they have to make up some ground. Maybe they have to push a little bit harder. And to have other people on the sideline to be able to be there and to cheer you on, go Marianne, go Marianne, go Marianne. That's beautiful to me. That's beautiful to me. So what I'm going to do now, I know this person doesn't know it, but I'm going to bring somebody on the line. I didn't see them light up on the switchboard, but it looks like it's a number, last four, 1844.
So I knew you were going to do this, and you know I told you I was going to listen in for a little while, but you're trying to sneak me in.
Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, you know there's no way in the world, and I don't know why he thought he was going to be able to get away with just sitting there and listening on the PRF table. The other host of the PRF table, Brother Warren Feaster, you know, we just have to bring you back. I said the people got to at least hear his voice for about 30 seconds on the line, and then he can go back to being silent. But there's no way after about almost a year that this brother is going to sit here, and I'm not going to tell him to say hi to the people.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I was trying to be courteous and nice because I'm sitting here at the pool with my son and he's got some people out here making some noise. And I know how JR is about background noise. So I was trying to be nice, but since he wants to do that. But it's really good to be back on. It's been a while and it's probably give me a little bit longer. And I'm trying to be a regular host again. Just moved. Still unpacking boxes, still don't have a job, enjoying the sun, so I'm slowly gonna get myself back into it. How's everybody doing?
Just fine, thank you.
We're good. Adia, she has to let go. Adia is out in Kansas City right now with the family, so you just missed her, bro. I was trying to catch you and get you caught on there before she dropped off, but you just missed her. But hey, bro, we're here. Just continue listening, bro. Go ahead and do what you're doing with the family, but I really just wanted to let the listeners, you know, I'm sure they get tired of hearing my voice all the time. So now they got your voice. Maybe our ratings will start going up now. They know Brother Peter's back around in the area now. So. All right, bro. You be good, man. We'll just keep on listening, man, and we'll catch you later.
All right. I'll talk.
Bye-bye.
All right. All right, Mama. So let's deal with this last this last leg.
Okay.
If you go onto the Blog Talk page, or you go onto the Facebook page and you look at the image, the flyer that we have out there on the PRF page, PRF Teaching Ministry on Facebook, there's a picture with the word debt. And I just want people just to envision this. There's a picture with the word debt, and then there's a chain that is connected to this picture. And at the end of the chain, there is a shackle. And then at the end of the shackle, what it looks like is an actual key. And I wanted to throw it out there because, again, we're doing this in a workshop style. And I want to just ask, if you were looking at that picture, what would that picture say to you? What would that image be like for you, knowing what your debt situation is? There's a word debt with a chain, with a shackle on the end, with a key. What do you see? I think some people may say that because the shackle is open, that is debt waiting to happen. Because all they got to do is put their arm in there, and now debt has them. Somebody may look at that same picture, though, and because the shackle is open, even though the chain is connected to debt, they can look at it as debt has been released. Somebody may look at that same picture with the shackle open and may call it what I teach in the personal law class, it's an attractive nuisance. So the fact that the shackle is open or the handcuff is open, all it takes is for somebody to go ahead and put their arm in there and close it up. And you don't even know if that's the right key that's actually attached. Somebody can look at that picture and say, I can give my testimony about the escape. I used to be in that shackle, but I'm not inside of that shackle. I used to be handcuffed to debt, but I'm not handcuffed in the debt anymore. And somebody may look at it and say, this looks like a place of bondage. And then I'll throw out here this. Looking at that same picture, are we so, and I'm saying we, with Brother Feaster, who is not, his microphone is not muted right now, so I can get away with it one time. Are we so consumed that we look at that picture of debt and we don't see the church? Are we so consumed with our own debt situation that we look at that and we don't see other church members? Are we so consumed with our own individual debt situations and we don't look at what's going on, or we ignore what's going on with our family members? Are we looking at that same picture and so consumed with our own debt that we're really not focusing or concerned about or think we can do anything about the debt that is going on inside of our own community? So I wonder if what we should be looking at is this picture is more of an opportunity than anything else. I'm not forcing that on anybody. That's just my thoughts, Mom, and I'll come to you and let you come at it.
Yeah.
And I say that because it's, to me, when I looked at that picture, this is where those your top three answers come into play in light of transformation. So how you view that picture in relation to those three things that you mentioned. makes all the difference in the world.
Okay.
It's kind of like it builds on to your motive. Because, yes, you want to pay your debts, your debtors. You want to help others and spread and share the knowledge. You want to give to charity. But how are you viewing the debt?
Mm-hmm. You want me to comment on it?
Oh, go ahead, Mom, if you want to. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. When I'm picturing what you said about the shackles and the key may not be the key, what I picture is really being in jail. And you can't focus. A person, say, I just picture, say, myself being in jail, and I can't focus on anything because I've never been to jail, but I've heard, you know, people talk that have been to jail talk about it, and it's like you're in there, and then everything that you should have done, say, talking about finances, you didn't do, and now you're doing more pondering about it, because now you're in bondage really, and you don't know, you can't get out. It just seems like there's no hope to get out. And even though, you know, the shackle is open, the chains are still there. The chain is still there. So to me, it's like really just being in prison. Because for me, my mind is wanting so bad to help people. I want to help them, you know, but I'm not financially able right now because I have to take care of of my debts, and it's as though I want to be free. You know, I want to be free. Just sit down and just write my, you know, just write out my checks. Well, I use debit, but say my checks, and feel good, and don't have to be concerned about, you know, make sure that you go over it again because you can't afford, you know, not to go over it to make sure, you know, that you have it right because you don't want anything to bounce. And so to me, that's a form of prison. That's a form of death. You're in a prison. And like you were saying, the good debt versus the bad debt, you know, a lot of time we are in the situation we're in financially because we've really we've created the bad debt over the good debt. So that means, of course, I have to make. We all have to make a change and make better choices with our finances. But it's just like you're locked up because if I was selfish, like some people, sometimes I'd be talking. You know, they say, oh, you know, and I said, you know, I said I can see this person. You know, you can just see the person needs some financially help. You know. And she said, oh, child, you just worry about that too much. You know, hey, they'd be all right. You know, so some people don't be concerned with it, but it touches my heart because I've been in a situation where I've had others to help me. And so I want to be able to do the same for others, if that makes any sense.
It does. And again, it goes back to what was said earlier. It's not about being able to do this one big old thing. It's about what can you do along the journey.
Yeah.
And again, what is the principles of PRF? The foundational scriptures of PRF is Acts chapter 2, 42 to 47, and 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. And neither one of those were individual community type of situations.
Right.
Yes, in 2 Kings, it was about the lady who was in debt, and she reached out to her neighbors. And if we remember the story, for those of us who know it, especially here on the PRF table, it was about doing an uncommon thing which brought her uncommon results.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She reached out. First thing she did was consult the man of God. And the man of God, through the Spirit of God, said, this is what you do. If you go to 2 Kings chapter 5, same thing happened with Naaman in chapter 5 with the same prophet. The prophet told, goodness gracious, the prophet told, send a message. Now, he told him direct. He sent a message to Naaman, who was this commander of the Syrian army over king of Aram.
Yes.
And he said, go down and dip into the River Jordan 7 times, and you will be made whole. 7 times, he told him.
Yes.
And you will be restored. So the question is, what word has God sent? And just like Naaman, Naaman didn't receive the word. But it was somebody else that was with him that said, you're tripping out because the man of God didn't come and give you the word himself, personally, face-to-face. He sent it through an email. He sent it through a text message. And you mad because he didn't come because of your high status.
Yeah.
If he had asked you to do something hard, you'd have went and did it and had no problem with it.
Right.
If he had asked you to keep resiliency courses for the next 14 months, you'd have done it. They asked you to come and teach a lesson, PRF, on one night, and you can't do it. You would teach a college class for 4 months, three days a week or 2 nights a week, but you can't teach one lesson of PRF. Something wrong with that picture.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, what Naaman did was he went and he did what God had told him to do through the messenger, through Elisha.
Yeah.
And God showed himself mighty. So nobody has to just stay in these dead places. I believe God has a lot of people already out here positioned to be able to help those of us or those who have certain debt situations that are just not working right now. Some of it may come through the PRF table. All of it may come through the PRF table. If it did, that'd be great. I would love to see that testimony.
Mm.
But we can't sit up here. We can't sit up here and go to church every Sunday and be sitting in mounds and mounds of debt Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and not take advantage of what God has already placed around us, which is each other.
Mm-hmm.
I said something that I said on Facebook, I don't know when it was, but is some people are where they are in life vocationally, educationally, spiritually, and financially because they can't see no further than where they are presently. Or maybe it's because they've been there for so long that they're comfortable.
Yes.
There are some people that are comfortable with their debt situation because they can't see a way out. They don't want to be there. That's what they say in their head, in their mind. But if you ask them, tell me what steps you've taken to get out of $45,000 worth of debt. Did you at least cut up the credit card and stop using it? Or do you use that last $15 of that limit every single month? Those are questions that become now personal. Those are questions that if we're building relationships with folk, we should be able to ask those questions. Brother such and such, not tell me what you're doing with your money, but we got to ask specific questions. Stop
Amen.
Looking for God to just wipe it away and just do your part. That's my message. Stop asking God just to wipe away the debt. Look, God is not a credit repair person that you go to and pay $250 and they say, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and get this taken off, get that taken off, get that taken off. That's not taking care of the debt. God doesn't operate like that. At least I have not seen him operate like that, and I have not heard any testimonies from people that say he operates like that. Lord, just wipe away my, just wipe away all these bad debts. When the children of Israel, and I'm done. When the children of Israel were sent away from Egypt,
yeah,
it was because Pharaoh had enough. Pharaoh had enough about feeling the wrath of God. How many plagues did it take?
It was ten.
10 plagues. And it wasn't that they took it upon themselves to leave. It didn't happen like that. They've been there how long?
How many years?
I'm not asking. Right. They've been there, right?
Not years.
It took only destruction. It didn't take just destruction, but it took death for their situation to change. And it wasn't death of them, it was death of somebody else, Pharaoh's child, and all those other firstborn.
Yes.
So every great movement, we're talking about being free from death. And we're not talking about it in the normal traditional response, but we're talking about being free from death. And every great movement comes with actions. It's some actions of a chosen leader, somebody who's leading the charge. It takes actions of other leaders, those who are embracing and supporting the vision. And it takes the people who are willing to walk together and work together.
Right.
And notice this. I didn't say just work together. I didn't say it takes people willing to work together. Why? Because the children of Israel, they worked together for hundreds of years.
Yes.
But things did not begin to change. They didn't begin to transform. God didn't show himself mightier than what he already showed them mighty while they were in their bondage until they began walking together.
Good.
Until they began walking together, until they began walking away from that place that didn't, it didn't fully have a hold on them in bondage. It made the conditions in their mind and their spirits where they didn't think that they had enough of the God of Israel inside of them to go to the place where God knew he had promised them. He had already promised them the promised land, and they sat there. I'm tired of people just sitting there. My thing is, if you got a debt situation, call on somebody. Call on the name of the Lord. Call on PRF. Doggone it. You should be able to call on the people in your church. You should be able to call on the people in your community. You should be able to call on the people in your family. But I cannot take any excuses for people not doing anything and then sitting up there crying about their debt situation. That ain't going to work. That's what we're going to have to deal with as far as transforming. And I'm going to be quiet because Adia got a testimony, so that gives me an opportunity to get some water. Y'all got to be excited tonight.
Yes, I just want to take the time. I got off because I'm with my family out of town right now. But I will tell you, we are right where we need to be. I just shared my testimony with a young man who is, you know, contemplating about coming into the Air Force. And he talked about, as an officer, he was talking about, you know, his credit not being really good. And so I was able to share with him, because when you know your purpose that God has called you to, and you know your purpose in God, and so the whole debt-free part that I desire is that when you can share what you did with somebody else, you can encourage somebody else to say, let me tell you what I did. Let me tell you where I was. Let me tell you where I currently am. And let me tell you what I did to get from there to here right now. And so I shared with him that when I first came into the Army, I didn't know what a credit report was. I didn't know a lot of credit score. I heard my mother talk about it. But it never clicked in my mind what that really meant until I found out that I had some medical bills on my credit report because I was ignorant and didn't know that, you know, these things could have been taken care of by this other person's insurance. So I had to just basically take the brunt of that and still take care of it. But being able to share your testimony and walk somebody through the process and encourage them and inspire them to say, you can do it, you know, not just because I did it, but I can, I understand where you are because I've been there, which we define that as empathy. I just wanted to share that because I would not have thought in a million years that when I got off the phone the first time that I would have walked into a Foot Locker store and given this young man my military ID card for him to ask me what did I do and, you know, about being an officer in the Army and me being able to share that experience. So I am so thankful for, again, I'm always thankful for PRF, but tonight I'm like, I feel like it's already the 4th of July fireworks going on because I was able to share what I just said earlier. And I believe that, you know, now I just want to add this part, that when we say stuff, when we release it from our mouth, saying that this is what God has called us to do, we got to know that, one, the enemy also hears it. And I'm not going to give him any glory right now, but what I will say is that if you really want to know and if you want to make sure that your heart is in the right place, you got to know that when you say something, the test is probably going to come to see if you meant what you said, you know, so that are you going to be honest with somebody? Are you going to be transparent to tell them that your credit was jacked up? And here's something. Can you just be honest with somebody and say, yep, my credit was jacked up prior to me even coming into the Army? And because of these things that I did, because I had to be transparent and be vulnerable and ask for help and get the education that I needed, it allowed for me to still to be in the Army, even when my security clearance had to be recertified, you know, I did these things, and it worked out on my behalf because of my character. And that was the one thing that I wanted to add. That was the word that I believe the Lord gave me for him was our character. When we say we want to do something, when we say we want to be debt-free, it is really challenging the character of who we are. And if who we are is in God, then we have to do things with the character of God, which means we have to be honest, which means we have to walk in integrity. We have to be loyal. We have to be consistent. We have to be patient. All of those things, the fruits of the Spirit talk about, we have to have those things because it helps to build our character. And those are the things that give us our testimony. And so I had the call to share that with you because I just got off the phone, like, not even 30 minutes ago, and I just shared this testimony with this young man and told him, I hope that everything works out for you and that what the Army or the military is concerned with when it comes to, you know, the background check and the security clearance is your character. Can you be entrusted to do what you say you're going to do, or are you going to be easily influenced by an outside person that's trying to intrude in the very thing that you're trying to do? And so, can God trust us to do what we say we're going to do with our finances so that we don't allow other people to influence us to say, hey, when you do get debt free, take that money that you're that's the overflow and the increase and go on a cruise because you deserve it. Are we going to be easily influenced or can we be entrusted to do the right thing because we've allowed God to build our character? And so I wanted to share that. I'm so excited. I thank God for you, Nate, for just being obedient to God, for being faithful to God, and for allowing us to always pull up a chair at the table. And I just wanted to share that with you all on tonight. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Some way to just let the word of God that has come to you, Adia, just to marinate for all of us. So we are going to end on that. The only thing that I'm going to say, come back next week, next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so that we can deal with this subject of debt free. Maybe next week's show will have a subtitle of Can God Trust You to Be Debt Free? And I think what we'll be doing, I'm confident of what we'll be doing next week is focusing on those texts, those religious texts, those scriptures that we focused on last month, which is still relevant, and look at what we've been talking about tonight in light of those particular texts and all that Isaiah gave in that testimony. Let us find those characteristics in the Word of God so that we can build our faith, so we can be stronger in our faith as we deal with it. So I have one confirmed guest for next week, so it's going to be good. So until next week, we just pray that they just have a wonderful week. Take the time to meditate on what God's word says about debt. See what his spirit communicates to you about what you need to do. Just think about some changes that you may need to make. So until then, we love you. God bless you. We had a wonderful night. I've enjoyed myself tonight, and for all of us here at the PRF table, Sarah, Tim, Brother Feaster, all of us here at the table tonight. God bless you. We love you. Have a good night.